right, so now comes that time for our talker, and he likes to talk. I've had a lot of pleasure over the years getting to know George in class, and he's a really a wonderful man in person, and he's got such great wisdom to share all the time. So I think this is, how many times have you spoke, George, now?
Pardon me?
Probably like a million times, right? You've spoke here quite a few times. Yeah. So if we could all give a big warm welcome for George Thorne.
Oh, I gotta forgive me, I have a bit of a cold, but you know, I don't know why, but I've had this need to break protocol all week and do something a little different tonight. Our Millie's coming back tomorrow. And I just have this need, assuming the higher-ups approve, to just kind of take a minute and what if we just give her all kinds of loving energy and just see her with a beautiful smile on her face and telling each of us that she loves us and that we love her and just sit with that for a minute. You think that we could do that?
Yes.
Okay. So let's just take a minute or so, close our eyes. Thank you very much. I think I felt it, so I know she's feeling it. You know. Before I start, I wish Spencer was here. He wrote something in the blurb this week and said I'd had a growth spurt. And I wanted to tell him I thought I gained a few pounds over Christmas, but I think it was that much. You know. In her songbook, there's a very short song, only four lines long, that I actually recited to Millie when I talked to her before Christmas. I believe it describes her to a T. The song has been haunting me for weeks. I can't get it out of my mind. The reason is, if every one of us believed it about ourselves, truly believed it, and believed it about each other, it would change the world forever. It is a song everyone who has ever taken Millie's class knows well. It goes like this. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ is shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. I know that for myself that I listen to songs and they go in one ear and out the other, but sometimes it's important to hear, to take in what the words really mean. How many of you here are familiar with this song? If not, I guarantee you will know it by the time tonight's over. I believe these words are important for three very important reasons. They acknowledge that each one of you is actually a part of God. When you accept yourself as part of God, you are opening yourself up to the greatest gift in the world, your true self. And just as important, you're acknowledging each other as being a part of God. You are acknowledging the truth of who you and everybody else really are. And when you do that, you begin to open up to your greater spiritual self. And then you can begin to accept your own possibilities, your own unlimited possibilities, your own potential, your soul's purpose for being on earth. Many of you know my story, that I've been through abuse when I was young, alcoholism, drug use, cigarettes, 3 or 4 packs a day, and depression most of my life. And I found God, thanks to my dear friend and brother Ray, who's passed, and Reverend Millie, and many of you here in this church tonight, whom I just worship and adore. And then I found God in me. And now my life has changed. Possibilities. I see, or should I say, I'm beginning to see greatness, dare I say it, even some of my own. Not there yet, but I'm working on it. greatness not in terms of arrogance or ego, but that I actually have something to offer the world. I have found my soul's purpose, my greater purpose in life, something that is pulling at me deep from within, almost beyond my control, and that is to help others who are going through their own issues, their own pain, their own journey. I want to help them to see that there are positive road signs and high roads to take on that journey that leads to a greater life. That is why I'm currently in my last few months of training after nearly 4 years to become a spiritual counselor. As the great writer Gene Houston says, I have found my second genesis, my soul's purpose for being. And it's something that we all have if we choose, if we are willing to look, and if we accept the fact that we are truly part of God. I want to share a story with you tonight that will shed some light on what I mean. Recently, I had the very good fortune to travel to Europe to see my son, who is going to school over there. He's also going to the clubs, which stay open 24 hours a day. But I'm very, very proud of him. He's working on his master's degree, and he's my world traveler, my student of the world, and I love him so much. One of the many things we did there was to visit some of the great churches of Europe, both in Amsterdam and London. I'd been to Europe many, many times before, and I didn't feel anything when I went in them then. I wanted to know if I felt any different this time, given all of my spiritual growth. The short answer, much to my surprise, was no. I did not feel anything special or different or holy, but possibly that's just me. But I sat in one of the pews in a beautiful Gothic cathedral in Haarlem, a charming town outside of Amsterdam, yet as that is how our Haarlem got its name, from the Dutch. And as I watched the Japanese tourists take pictures by the thousands, I tried hard to feel God's presence, which, as we know, is silly because God's presence is everywhere all of the time. God is all there is. Still, that didn't stop me from feeling the separation. And the longer I sat there, the more I began to understand why. I looked up at the ceiling draped in Renaissance paintings, framed in leaves of gold, and took note that the ceiling was 6 or 7 stories high. The cathedral itself was about as long as a football field. And I began to understand what these churches were really all about, and that was power. And it was about the power of God and the power of the church, and beneath it all was the parishioner, the congregant, me, the human being. I was so small, relatively speaking, and immaterial, and I felt as if I had no power. How could I, as one lonely person, have as much power or possibly matter as much as the greatness and the grandeur of the church? I was there to give all honor and glory to God, but there was nothing remotely suggesting that I was part or anyone else was part of this greatness. Instead, I was part of the separation, which many current theologians believe is the only real sin, that we have forgotten that we are part of something greater, that we are part of spirit, that God is all there is, and we are part of this oneness. I felt so insignificant sitting there. It's my own stuff, sure, but that seems to be a big lesson in the evolution of the church. In the early days, the church, Catholic and what became the Protestant church, was about Almighty God, with never any mention of Almighty us. It seems to be a missing link in the church, except that is for what it says in the Bible and in virtually the readings of every major religion in the world. Yahweh, an ancient biblical word for God, means I am. Can you hear that? Can you feel that? God means I am. Exodus 3, Moses then said to God, "Look, if I go to the Israelites and say to me, 'What is his name?' what am I to tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am Yahweh, he who is." And he said, "That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am. Yahweh has sent me to you." John 8, "In all truth I tell you, before Abraham ever was, I am." I didn't feel the I am in those churches. I sure did feel power outside of me, the need for somebody to make something outside of me greater than I am. And that is why I want you to hear me when I say that I feel more love in this church. right here, right now, than I did in London, in Westminster Cathedral, where kings and queens, poets, writers, even Shakespeare are buried, and where a tribute to Winston Churchill greets you as you humbly walk through the mighty doors. Actually, the greatest statesman of the 20th century is buried somewhere else. He said he didn't want everyone walking on him for all the centuries to come. On the other hand, the very first words I ever heard from Reverend Milley when I came to this church were, "God is love, George, God is love." And who hasn't heard her say about 1,000 times to each of us, "You are a bubble of God, you are a bubble of God." Success in life depends on knowing who we really are. When our internal reference point is spirit, our true self, we experience all the power of spirit. When our internal reference point is the ego or self-image, we feel cut off from our source. The ego is influenced by objects outside the self, circumstances, people, and things, and cathedrals as big as football fields. And it thrives on the approval of others. The ego wants to control, but lives in fear. But the ego is not who we really are. It is our social mask. It is the role we are playing. The need for approval, the need to control things, and the need for external power are fear-based. This kind of power is not the power of pure potentiality, the power of self or true power. Self-power draws things that we want to us. It magnetizes people, situations, and things to support our desires. Deepak Chopra, Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. He concludes with a quote, another quote from the Bible. "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." It's in Psalms. "I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ is shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God." Again, many of you know this song. And I'd like to try something tonight a little different. I would like you to find somebody out there, and don't worry about giggling or ego or feeling shy. And I want you to turn to that person next to you, behind you, in front of you. And I want you to say those words. Look them deeply in the eyes and say those words to another person. And I will say them with you. Let me know when you're ready to do that. Oh, absolutely. Are we ready? Okay. Huh? Okay, here we go. Everybody listen up. Look to the person that you're partnering up with and say with me and look into their eyes and really feel this. "I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ is shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God." Now, turn it around and have the other person do the same thing. Oh, did you all do it at the same time? Well, that takes care of that, doesn't it? Just sit there. But just sit there for a second. Just sit there for a second and think about how that felt. How did it feel? Did it feel good?
Yeah.
Did it feel like that's the truth of who you are? That is the truth of who you are. And this is what we forget and we have to work on every day. The presence of God, of Spirit in you, the light of Christ is shining through. I am a living, breathing expression of God. Hopefully by now, you are feeling a little more a part of God, seeing the true gift of who you are, the God in you. I can continue to quote all kinds of fancy words from fancy authors to convince you, but nothing in my mind sums it up like the story of a young high school football player. His name is Jake Olson. Listen to this. Friday night lights glow brighter when Jake Olson strides onto a football field. Just 16 years old, Jake is the long snapper for Orange Lutheran High School. On a good night, the junior bends down, executes a perfect 7-yard hike toward the kicker and blocks the rusher. So what, you might say. Thousands of kids do that. Jake is blind. Jake is playing one of the toughest games on the planet, and he can't see. But playing football blind is not all he does. He plays varsity golf, skis, surfs, plays guitar, has appeared on the Carrick Show, has Kenny Chesney on his cell phone, will soon be featured on ESPN, and he has a 4.4 grade point average. In his book, Open Your Eyes, Jake writes, "Blind people can do anything a sighted person can. It may take a different method, and it may be harder, but it can be done." Jake hopes to attend USC and has a career plans to become a motivational speaker or the PGA's first blind golfer. Yet Jake takes no credit for his golf or football. Instead, he gives all praise to God. Jake knows who he is. He knows his true self. He knows his calling. He knows his soul's purpose is to help others, to see and know what he knows. Jake knows his true power. It is inside of him, and he knows it because he can't see anything else. Let me sum up this way with a saying from St. Teresa of Avila in the 16th century. First, she was a Carmelite nun, then a Roman Catholic saint. She wrote a beautiful prayer that I'd like to share with you. In the 1500s, She knew then what we know today. May God, may today there be peace within. May you trust God that you're exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content knowing that you are a child of God. Let this presence settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, dance, praise, and love. It is there for each and every one of you. Now I would like you to all close your eyes for 1 minute more. I want you to take in some very important words, some of the most important words you'll ever hear in your life. I feel the love of God in you, the light of Christ come shining through. I am blessed to be with you. Each of you is truly a holy child of God. God bless you and thank you.
Wow, that was great, George. Wasn't that great, you guys? George, we see the love of God in you. That's for sure. Wow, that was amazing. Thank you.